You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. We know that God does great things. Not only did He call and save us, but He's also showing us the beauty and privilege of participating in His kingdom. So what is God calling you to do? This series is titled Greater Works.
Again, we would like to welcome you to Every Nation Macau. You know, I'm sure glad to see all of you despite of the weather, the harsh weather today. And yet you are here. Come on. Yes, you know, excited to see all your smiling faces. Anybody here who you are here for the very first time? Anybody? First time? Yes. Thank you, sir, for joining us. Your friend, Obien. Oh, wow, wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Anyway, we as a spiritual family, we exist to honor God and make disciples. And before I proceed to my message this morning, I just want to appreciate the production team, you know, for doing a great job. How many production? Yeah, I know that G-Bert is not here, but Steve, who else? Okay, Joella. Wow, thank you. Wonderful. You know, this morning, 2:40 in the morning, I received a text from G-Bert just to show me the new, you know, backdrop that we have. And again, thank you so much for continually serving this church faithfully. And all those of you, of course, all the volunteers in the house, thank you for continually or faithfully serving, okay, with all your might, okay? Anyway, as we build up for our upcoming Leaders Build Conference this week, you know, we're going to have Leaders Conference, okay? Leaders and interns, we will be converging here this coming Wednesday and Thursday for this online conference. It will be 2 days of, you know, just being, you know, build up, okay? Not only from, you know, from the speakers who will be speaking, but also for, you know, just to see what God is doing, you know, and witness what God is doing in our movement. You know, it will be, I tell you, it will be a crazy thing. You know, it's like, I can't wait to, you know, to fellowship also with other leaders, even via online. But most of us here, the leaders and some of our interns will be gathering here for the next 2 days. And also, again, we have also this series because of our upcoming evangelistic campaign come March, okay? We have this, we call it Engage Evangelistic Campaign or 10 Days Local. And again, that's the reason why we have this particular series entitled Greater Works. Say Greater Works. Because we are called to advance the kingdom of God. And Jesus promised that we will do greater works as we carry out His purpose. And now, in this four-part series, we will know how we can do greater works as we endeavor to, again, advance or expand God's kingdom. So these are the topics, upcoming topics. And today, I'm going to talk about purpose of greater works. And next week, I'm going to talk about the presence of the Spirit. Week 3, we're going to talk about the power of the collective. And week 4, potential expansion. Right? So, you know, I just want to excite you about this series because, again, we are, we endeavor to continue to expand the work of God, not only here in Macau, but in other nations as well. Amen? Now, to begin, I was reminded of, while preparing this message, growing up, you know, my family used to own a few hectares of rice field or a farm. And my dad would always take me and my brother to our farm every weekend. And actually, he would assign us, okay, if today or Saturday is my schedule, the next Saturday will be my brother. Okay, the only two boys in the family. So both of us, God requires us to go with him to supervise what's happening in our farm. So But the thing was, my brother and I, we didn't really like going to the farm. We don't want to be, I don't like the mud. I don't like the puddles. I don't like the leech. You know, sometimes that our dad would ask us even to plant, you know, those rice, okay? And man, I tell you, I hated, you know, getting into the mud. So one time, I remember while we were having dinner, my dad said to us, okay, six of us in the family, six children, and said, you know, I intend to give away, or one of you would inherit our farm, and anybody here who would like to possess or to get this farm. And I still remember that nobody really raised hands. Nobody did say, I like to have the farm. Imagine, this is our dad trying to bless us with a farm, but nobody among us, the children, would say, I like it. Because in my mind, you know, when I think about, for me personally, when I think about the farm, I think about the puddles, I think about the mud, and I think about the leech or leeches. So that's the reason why I was thinking, man, I don't like it. So our dad ended up selling our farm before they migrated to the U.S. Now, few things I've learned from this personal experience of mine. The first one, we may miss or lose the promised blessing if we keep thinking about the mud, thinking about the leeches, thinking about the puddles. How many of you know that? You know, in every promise, there will always be challenges. You know, just like the Israelites, before they were able to enter the promised land, there were a lot of challenges, there were a lot of testings, there were even opposition before they were able to claim the promise of God. Okay, so same thing with us. If we are focusing more on the hard works, and you know, for me, myself, I was thinking about that. And that's the reason why I became disinterested to own a farm, because I was also thinking about pursuing other things. You know, just like every one of us today, we have our own pursuits in life. Now, question is, what are you pursuing in your life? And these are common pursuits of people when they think about what they pursue in life. Other people, they think about being happy or happiness. They thought about what they're pursuing is their career. Of course, success. Or many people are pursuing their dreams. Some are prestige or fame. Others, wealth or money. So I'm not saying at all that these are bad, but the thing is, want us to understand, whatever personal pursuits you may have, I hope they will not hinder your pursuit of God. If we are not careful, this is the thing, our personal pursuits will determine the direction or the trajectory of our lives instead of God. That's why when Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, and this is, you know, one of the most common scriptures that we quote in the Bible, it says here, but seek first or pursue first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So here, Jesus was basically saying, if there's something that we need to pursue in our lives, it should be first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, because as you pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, what is the promise there? And all these things will be given to you as well. So other things will just follow even as you pursue God in your life. See, if after I became a Christian, the trajectory of my life really changed. My direction shifted from my desire or my desire for, you know, I call it American dream, into going after God's kingdom. It's really shifted, you know, radically shifted, you know, because I used to dream about going to the U.S., following my parents to become a, you know, U.S. citizen. It's like for me, U.S. is the, you know, the promised land. And all of a sudden, when I became a Christian, just that really changed. And I begin to, you know, crave for the things of God. I begin to realize that there's so much more about this life, and I begin to really align to God's purpose. Now, I wanna say this as well, that I am not in any way saying you should enter the ministry. I'm not trying to convince you that you have to follow me as well, because, you know, Pastor Gio entered the ministry and I should become one, so that I will be also blessed or be blessed. But because this is the thing, whenever or wherever you are wherever God, you know, God has planted you, there is a ministry that God gives you that He wants you to pursue. Okay, where are you working now? Where God has planted you? I tell you, God is going to use you in that particular place or position that you have. Now, another question, what happens as we pursue Christ? Your pursuit of Christ will lead you to go after His ultimate pursuit, and that is the kingdom of God. God's kingdom advancement. So, when we think about doing the work of for God or doing the work of God, it starts, okay, with the pursuit of Christ. See, because as we pursue Christ in our lives, first, God is going to use us. There is that ministry that God wants us to accomplish in whatever way we can. He will sustain us. He will empower us to do the ministry for Him. Now, going back to John chapter 14, verse 12, again, it says here, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father." Now, just to give you a brief background of this, you see, Jesus was giving His last instructions to the disciples. You know, He was telling them what will happen in the future. So, He's leaving them with all these instructions, so that when He departs, the disciples, in a way, would know what to do. But the disciples weren't really ready. Many of them were still resisting the idea of Jesus leaving them. So, imagine, from the time Jesus started the ministry, He has called the disciples, and also He started equipping them, training them, He taught them to become ministers. And yet, they feel like they weren't ready yet. But Jesus, here, at this point, He was just being strategic. Since the disciples were to continue the work of Jesus that He started, and to do greater works. Now, if we think about it, from what Jesus was saying here, what's the purpose of greater works? Okay? In verse 12, because He said they will do even greater things. Now, but prior to that, He said this, "Whoever believes in me," okay? Jesus said to them, "Whoever believes in me." So you see, the key to greater works is our resolute posture of dependence on Jesus. Our resolute posture of dependence in Jesus. In other words, it starts from our pursuit of Christ that will propel us to pursue the works of Christ. our pursuit of Christ enables us to do the works of Christ. Because there's no greater works apart from Christ. Because Jesus started it, the work, just like what happened to the disciples, He started it and He trained them, He taught them about the ministry. And likewise, say, you know, for us today, it started from Christ. Amen? Everything starts when you get saved and you begin to realize, to understand that there is that purpose, encompassing purpose of God for us to do. You see, as Every Nation Movement, our theme, you know, what our one word for this year is the word expansion. Everybody say expansion. Taken from Isaiah 54, verse 2. When God said through Isaiah, enlarge the place of your tent. That is expansion. You see, but inward expansion should happen first before we even think about outward expansion. It's not going to happen that you think first about outward expansion before the inward. Because God or Jesus has to settle first what is in the inside. Are you able? Do you have faith for expansion? Are you getting what I'm saying here? So our faith should be strengthened or increase first before we can do greater things or greater works. Before you can expand or get involved in expansion. So, great faith in Christ makes great results. Amen? So whoever, again, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, will do the works I have been doing. So this part where Jesus said, do the works I have been doing. The reason for doing greater works is because we have to do the same works He was doing. In other words, we need to continue pursuing the Great Commission. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, try to make things up, trying to get another vision from God about His purpose. There is already purpose that Jesus has told us to do. Are you hearing me? He already gave us the Great Commission. Jesus, before He ascended into heaven, He told His disciples in Matthew 28. Verse 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And we must just continue pursuing the mission or assignment that God has given us. You see, many people today, they are more into the second coming of Jesus. You see, you cannot be thinking more about the second coming if you are not thinking about the Great Commission first. Or if you are not fulfilling the Great Commission first. So a lot of times the Great Commission becomes the Great Omission. Because we tend to omit the Great Commission because we're thinking more about the second coming of Jesus. Are you hearing me? But you may be here today, you may be saying, but I have heard the Great Commission many times already. You see, I don't care. We will keep on harping the Great Commission. We will keep on harping about the mission, this assignment that Jesus has given us. Because I tell you what, there's something about you hearing about the Great Commission, but the question is, are you doing it? Wanting to hear and listen to it, but another thing, to do it. We are called to make disciples of all nations. You see, God has ordained every single one of us to be here in Macau. Can you imagine in all places you are here? You're already fulfilling the Great Commission. At least for many of you, perhaps the first step, you're already in the nation. The second step is you have to do it. You have to step out by making disciples. Are you committed to doing this? You see, as a church, as a movement, every nation move. Of course, this is not just about every nation. Because we, in different movements, we kind of understand, we understand the Great Commission. But for us, this is it. That's why we keep on harping this every Sunday. The reason why we exist as a church, to honor God and make disciples. We think about this, what we are doing as we continue to make disciples. You know, as a movement, we have all these initiatives. Even in the midst of pandemic, just lately, we heard about the report regarding what's happening in the Philippines through our church, Victory Churches there, that despite, for the past 2 years, again, in the midst of pandemic, more than a dozen of church plants happened. For the past 2 years, in the midst of pandemic, can't imagine that. In Hong Kong this year, we're going to plant 2 churches in Tung Chung and Sun Moon. And we as a church, we are committed this year, like we're going to plant a church in Busan, South Korea. And we're going to talk more about that in the next weeks. How many of you are excited? You see, this is all about the assignment that Jesus has given us. Because God has called us to go and make disciples of all nations. And one thing else, why do you think we are praying for the nations? We prayed for Uzbekistan earlier. We prayed for Ukraine during our first service. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. You see, the heart of God. The heart of God is not only for us Filipinos, for the South Africans, for all nations, for the Chinese, Australians, amen, Americans, all over the world. All languages, races, tribes, nations. That's the heart of God. See, we go to every nation to preach the gospel. That's our assignment. And Jesus said that in Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and what? Do what? Preach the gospel. How many of you here, you have tried sharing to somebody? Sharing the gospel to somebody? Nobody. Nobody. But I tell you, it's fun. If you're doing it the first time, I tell you, it's kind of scary. I tell you, you will be somehow feel the discomfort or you will be feel uncomfortable doing it. But I tell you, it's all worth it. You know why? You know that because you know that you're doing it for Jesus. It's not about you. So we go to every nation to preach the gospel. You know why it's the gospel? Because it's the power of God. For what? The salvation of those who shall receive. Can you imagine? This is the only hope for people to have eternal life, for them to be saved. So the gospel we must preach. Tell the person next to you, say, preach the gospel. Say that again. Preach the gospel. You see, the gospel. What's in the gospel? We're talking about the gospel here. You know, nowadays there are people who are, you know, when they say the gospel, sometimes they, you know, they talk about how to be blessed. They're talking more about prosperity. That's why there is this term now, prosperity gospel. But you see, any word or message without Christ in it or not focused in Christ is only preaching the letter of the law. And that's why we have to be careful. What do we preach? Are you preaching the letter of the law or are you preaching the gospel? Some people, they're more focused on the blessing. Oh, if you believe in God, you will be blessed. That's only the half. Tell them that if they don't receive Christ, they will go to hell. Because that's reality. All right. Hello? We have to preach the gospel. Only Christ can save us. Unless someone receive Christ, unless someone confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that Jesus raised from the dead, that person will not be saved. You've got to believe in Christ. That's why I tell you, I am excited about our evangelistic campaign this coming March. So all our leaders, all our victory groups will participate. How many of you here, you are victory group leader? Come on, just raise your hand. Can you please stand up, all the victory group leaders who are here this morning? Please do stand up. Come on, stand. Why don't you give these people a hand? Come on. Praise God for your life. And even all our interns, thank you for continually standing with us as we endeavor to make disciples in this city. You know, I tell you what, we are not done yet. Just look at those empty chairs all around the place. You know, that is reserved for somebody. You know, I'm excited about this because God is reserving already chairs for new people who will be added to the church. Hallelujah. As we go and evangelize, as we go and engage others. Now, what did Jesus promise as we get involved in the kingdom expansion? He says here, they will do even greater things. Say that with me again. They will do greater things. Now, question, can we actually do greater works than Jesus? Can you do greater works than Jesus? Dennis, can you do greater works than Jesus? Jayward, can you do greater works than Jesus? Can we do greater works than Jesus? Now, how can we do greater works than Jesus? How can we do that? You know, Jesus used this word, they. Everybody say, they. They will do even greater things. You see, do greater works together. Do greater works by work. In other words, by working together. Now, Jesus in his human body is limited and restricted to accomplish the plan and the purpose of God. So when Jesus said they, it is the entire body. Collectively, all of us as Christians, as believers, can you imagine if only Jesus will do it? He's not going to last because he's using this human body as well. But as we, the body of Christ, as we Christians, go together in different places, going to the nations, we're spreading out to do the works for God, we can do the greater works. Are you hearing me? So it's the collective effort of every Christian is spread all over the world that we can realize what Jesus was saying. They will do greater works. That's why here also, John 14, 12, Jesus said, because I am going to the Father, they will do even greater things than this because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. We can do greater works as the Spirit empowered, or as we are empowered rather by the Spirit. You see, because as Jesus went back to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to us to come upon us, thus empowering us individually and corporately to carry out God's purpose. So, in other words, it's not about you, your capacity to be able to do it for God. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Now that you have been given the capacity to do it. John 16:7. Jesus said, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. So Jesus, in effect, Jesus was saying, you know, I couldn't do it myself. It is good that I'm leaving because as I leave, I am going to send the Spirit of God. To you, brother, to you, brother, to you, sister, to the rest of us, so that we can all do the works together. You see, with the Holy Spirit coming upon us, we become effective ministers of the gospel. And yes, we can do greater works. You see, there is no age limit. Look at the person next to you. Of course, all of us here, we're still young. Okay? There is no age limit to join the club. Okay? The club of making disciples or disciple makers. There are no limits to what we can do. As Jesus said, we can do all things through Him. Amen? So there is no limit. You know, I think about even people who are already advanced in years. I don't want to say old, but you know, we have people like them in the movement. I think about, this is Pastor Demi or Doc Demi. He's a doctor, surgeon. You know, he's a known surgeon in the Philippines. And yet, you know, when God spoke to him, you know, he was radically saved. And he gave up his profession, but his passion really changed. You know, he was an accomplished doctor, and he started a church in Imus, Cavite, and planted another church in Cavite, in the Philippines. Then he wasn't satisfied. Because in his mind, you know, I can do greater things for God. So he went to Cambodia, planted a church in Phnom Penh, our first church in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh. And one of the leaders now, one of the pastors, I forget his name, Timothy. And he wasn't satisfied with one church, and they started another church in downtown Phnom Penh, then another church in Bambang, another church. Now he's planting another church in Cambodia. He is in his late 60s. And yet, he's still planting churches. Now, Pastor Scott Dauma, the regional director of our ministry here in East Asia, he's already 60 plus years. Mid 60s. And yet, passionate still when it comes to world missions. Think about Pastor Sam Webb and Nancy Webb. of Hawaii. They're already in their 80s, and yet they're still imparting. Man, I tell you, passionate about imparting into the lives of people, impacting nations. My own parents. My dad is turning 85 this year. My mom is 81. But I tell you, my dad and my mom, every single day, they have victory group. They're leading victory group from Monday until Sunday. Even if it is online, it doesn't matter. They love to preach the gospel to anybody that they meet. I tell you, passionate. You know, my dad and my mom, when I was talking to them one time, they said, you know, we want to die. You know, we want to die preaching the gospel. Still preaching the gospel. I tell you, there is no age limit, whether you are young. And I think about even the kids' church. We have testimonies out there when kids were kids, preached to their parents and brought them to the church. I tell you, can you imagine, God can use these youngsters and the oldies alike to advance the kingdom of God. So, again, think about yourself. No limitations. And there should be no hesitations when it comes to the gospel and the advancement of His kingdom. You see, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God because we don't have to do it on our own. We have the Spirit of God inside of us who gives us the boldness, who gives us the confidence, who gives us the capacity. It's not us who will change the lives of people, but we will become effective in sharing the gospel as we abide in the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. Let me end. John 14:14. Again, this is the last part that Jesus said here. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus never really left us to do the work on our own. When He went back to the Father, He steadily and consistently involved in the kingdom expansion. He was still there, praying and interceding for every single one of us, and even for the work of God. Because Jesus pursued seeing. His pursuit is seeing the kingdom of God advance. Never disappoint.
Thank you for listening. Tune in to more podcasts and give online through our website, everynationmacau.org. God bless you.